Psalm 137. It is again a blessing to be here. It's good to see you here this morning in the service. And visitors, we're glad to have you here among us today. Psalms 137, while you pray for us a few minutes this morning, we're going to do what I feel like the Lord lay on our heart. Psalm 137, and I want to begin reading with verse number 1. There are just 9 verses here. We'll read all 9 verses, and then we'll do what the Lord have us to do. Psalm 137, it's familiar to you. If you find your place, when you do, stand with us. We'll honor the Word of God. We'll honor the Bible. Good to have Sister Earlene back with us today. Amen. Yeah, it's good to have Brother James back with us today. Amen. Yeah, they've been out a good while. Good to see them this morning in the service. The Bible said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundations thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, again this morning. Father, we come before you as humble as I know how, thanking you, dear God, for every blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. We thank you for these that are bowed with us. Father, I pray this morning your will be done. God, that sinners would repent, backsliders would turn from their wicked way. We ask you, dear God, to have your way with us again. Lord, anoint us afresh with fresh oil, and give us power to preach one more time. God, I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would have its effect in the hearts and the lives of these people. We ask you, dear God, again, that you'd change us. Let us leave here different than we were when we come. We ask you now to go with us and give us the words that we need to say. What you do for us today, we'll be careful to thank you. We'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The Bible refers that as a question. They ask the question, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We live in an unusual day. We live in a very complex, perplexed day. It's got a lot of confusion in our world today, a lot of differences, a lot of discouragement in our world today. We look on every hand and we see nothing but gloom oftentimes in our everyday lives. There's nothing but bad news, seem like, in every direction. I'm glad that the gospel of the Lord Jesus means good news. It's the only hope that we have and the only hope we can find in this life that we're living. The Bible said if we had hope in Christ in this life only, we'd be as all men most miserable. So we know this morning there's a hope beyond this life. Thank God for everlasting life. Amen. The Bible tells us that the people of God now have been conspired against here. The Bible tells us that Edom, the descendants from Esau, and the Babylonians have conspired together to take God's people into captivity. There's really no difference in their day and in our day today. If the world had its way, they'd shut every church house down that they possibly could. How they'd sure stop us. If they could stop free speech, they'd do it today. And they're targeting not free speech out yonder. They're targeting free speech in the church house. They're calling the preached word of God. When a man of God stands up and preaches what thus saith the word of God, and it begins to divide and cut, they call that hate speech in our world today. When we preach against homosexuality and preach against gay marriage and these things, they begin to say we're discriminating against a particular people. But sin is sin, and you have to call it what it is according to the word of God. And so they declare it as free speech, or they declare it as hate speech in a land of free speech. Isn't that amazing today that they target the church and they target the preacher when we're trying to preach truth and righteousness from the pulpits today? And so now they've conspired here against the people of God. That's not a new tactic today of the devil. He's always tried to shut this down from the very beginning. And so we know now from time to time how we see the working of the devil and trying to do what he can to stop what we're enjoying today. And if he can take God's children into captivity, he'll do it today. Amen. And he's doing everything he can to keep everything as quiet as he possibly can. And behind the scenes, trying to pass laws and trying to do everything he can to close the church doors. And if they could do it today, they'd charge churches taxes to worship God. If they could do it today, amen. But there is a clause in the separation between church and state. And it never was to keep the church out of government. It was to keep the government out of the church, amen. If we didn't have that today, the government would want to tell us how to do and what to do and license us on every hand. But I'm here to say today it's no different today than it was in Israel's day when they tried to get them to just calm it down. And they took them into captivity. And the Bible said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. There's three particular things in the text this morning that we want to be reminded of that'll cause us to keep singing. Amen. And the first thing is Zion. Amen. And the Zion represented the very presence of God in the midst of his people. Amen. And you remember that Mount Sinai, and the presence of God was rich in that place. And you remember Mount Zion. And that's a picture, amen, of a heavenly place and a heavenly person. And when we remember, the Bible said now that they had taken them into captivity and trying to rob them of the very identity of the church and the worshiping of God Jehovah. And I want to say today, there is not but one God, and his name is Jehovah, and he's well, amen. I talked to him this morning when I got out of the bed, and he's doing good, hallelujah. And he's not any weaker, and he's strong as he's ever been, and he sits high and mighty, and his throne is in heaven, and his footstool is the earth, and he still rules and reigns, amen, in the lives and the affairs of men today. Amen. So we have to remember how the Bible said when they sat down by the river, how the Bible said they remembered Zion, and they wept and remembered where they'd come from and the worshiping that they had enjoyed. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus promised where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he'd be in the midst of his people. He's in the middle of this place today, and he's in the very center of the human heart, amen, and he directs our heart, and he moves us in his direction. The Bible said he inhabits the praise of his people. When God's people began to praise him, he manifests himself in the midst of his people. When we worship him and praise him, the Bible said they remembered Zion, and they wept when they remembered what it felt like to have him in the midst of them. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, said, how do you, this has been years ago, how the young preachers were wondering how preachers stayed with how the preaching of the Word of God, and said, how do you do it when there's not people coming to be saved? I've learned a long time ago, this is God's business. I can't save you, but He can. My job was to preach what He lay on my heart, to give to you the gospel, the good message. Rather, you respond or choose to respond in a very positive way. That's up to you this morning. Amen. I can't grab you and pull you to the altar. Amen. Nor can I keep you away from the altar. It all belongs to Him in the saving of people. Amen. How we cannot do it. How we can just proclaim the message of salvation. I want to say to you today, and I told them, just as long as I know that God's in the midst of it, then I'm good to go. Amen. And when He ceases, my friend, to be in the midst of it, then I'm going to the house. Amen. When He stops it, I'm ready to stop. And, but I'm telling you, He's not going to stop His message. He promised He'd be in the midst of His people when they gathered together. The Bible said now they had come together and they wept when we remembered Zion. When we remembered that place, amen, where God began to bless. And when God strengthened us. And when God was our helper. But now they're in captivity. You find that now they remembered Zion. But then the Bible said that they hang their harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. They had taken and placed their harps in the willows. For there they that carried us captive required of us a song, that they that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And what they were asking for, what they were looking for, was the church in the midst of a troublesome time for the church. And they're looking to see how the church is going to react in their day when they were taken captive. And my friend, listen, they may take away the building, but they'll never take away the church. Amen. And Warrior Creek's building a few weeks ago burned to the ground, but the church is alive and well. Amen. They may cause us to get discouraged, but they'll never take away our salvation. Amen. It's still as good as it was when we first got saved. And they were seeing how they were going to react to a troublesome time. And what they needed to remember was Zion, but they needed to remember the joy that they found in serving the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And I want to tell you, songs. The Bible said if any man is to be spiritual, let him sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Yeah. Amen. Jesus said, I pray for the church that their joy might be full. Did you know that you can have joy in the dark times of your life? Did you know there is joy in Jesus when everything else looks like it's a caving in? The Bible tells us they wanted them to sing a song. What they remembered, what Babylon remembered, what Edom remembered, was the joy in their singing, in their song. Amen. They, I want to tell you, when we get to heaven one day, we're going to sing a new song. It's going to be an eternal song where eternal joy, my friend, will be present all the time. Amen. For eternity. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine feeling the joy of the Lord all the time in eternity. Amen. I tell you, I love it when the joy of Jesus comes in my heart. I tell you what it causes me to do. Miss D said this morning, she said, was you talking to me? I said, no, ma'am. I was just singing a song. I want to tell you, there's something about a song in a Christian's heart that'll make a real difference. It'll pronounce the joy in their heart. Amen. Now, God knew what song would do in our heart. The Lord's familiar with song.
Heaven has singing. We refer to the choir. We refer to the new songs that John saw in Revelation when they sung that new song and began to break out in jubilation in heaven and sang the new song, the song of redemption. I'm going to tell you, when a person's saved, he finds Jesus and finds joy unspeakable and full of glory. Remember the joy. It's in the joy, amen, where they found their song. It's in the joy of where they sing their song. The Bible said now it's evident how they were looking at their circumstances more than they were looking at God. They were looking at the things that was going on around them. Now, Esau was considered, and even Edom was considered their descendants. Babylon was their enemy, and they had come together, and they had conspired to take them into captivity. It's one thing to have a foreign enemy, but when there's a domestic enemy, that's terrible. Amen. I tell you, it's amazing to me how that there are many battles fought from within rather than from without. Russia said that they don't have to destroy America, for America will destroy themselves from within. It's from within that we have a problem. And when we see the text this morning, you'll find that there's an enemy that's within them. Esau had, or the Edomites had conspired against them. You'd have thought if anybody would have been on their side, it would have been their kinfolks. Amen. But I want to remind you this morning, you've got many a kinfolks. They're not your friend in the Lord, but they're your enemies in the Lord. They don't want to see you rejoicing. They don't want to see you living that Christian life. What they want you to do is to be like them. Drink with them, cuss with them, go out with them, do the things they do. They don't want to do the things you do. They don't want to love the one you love. I tell you, it causes a division among us. The Bible said, I did not come to bring peace, but to bring a division. He said, in the last days, there'll be mothers against fathers, brothers against sisters. There's a wedge drawn between us, the Lord Jesus and his righteousness, and the devil and his evil. I'm going to tell you, is among us. You'd have think that you'd have thought of anybody that would have gave them peace, it ought to have been the kinfolk. But it wasn't. They had to remember their joy that they had lost in this captivity. They had to remember Zion, the very presence of God in the midst of them. I'm going to tell you, without him, we're nothing. Without him, we's as well to shut the door. The Bible said now that it was almost as if they were taunting the people of God and said, sing us a song in a strange land. I bet you can't do it. That's what the devil says. Bet you've lost your joy. I bet you wish you'd have never done that. Amen. I bet you wish you'd have never got been a part of that place. But I'm going to tell you, the more they taunted, the more they began to remember. Amen. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'm going to tell you, the devil, he'll keep a-taunting. The world will keep taunting. The family keeps taunting. But keep on keeping on. Amen. Sing that song in a strange land. Then you'll note the Bible said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem over above my chief joy. Over in the book of Galatians, you remember the issue between Sarah and Hagar. The Bible said, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants.
the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Hallelujah. The Bible said when they remembered Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible said when they remembered Jerusalem. The Bible said, I refer not Jerusalem. I prefer not Jerusalem above my joy. He said, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it even to the foundations thereof. They remembered Jerusalem. They remembered where they had come from, where they had been. There's an earthly Jerusalem sets over in Israel today. And that's one of the oldest cities in the world today. One of them. And it's the city that's got many memories in past. It's the city that has withstood through the thick and the thin. There have been nations upon nation upon nation has tried to destroy that place. If they could have wiped it off the face of the earth, they'd have done it a long time ago. There's one piece of land in all the earth that God claims as his inheritance. And that's the place right there. And it's got lots of memories as far as this world's concerned. It's fought battles. It's won battles. It was referred to as the city of God. It's a place where God's people placed the temple and where they worship God. It's the place where Nehemiah, we studied not long ago, had came back and seen that the walls had been torn down, and he wept because it had become a hissing place, a mockery to the world. And they requested to build the walls back, and they got freeway to build the walls, and they built the walls back where Jerusalem could once again be proclaimed as the city of God. It still stands today. It's not the prettiest city in the world. It's basically a heap of old stones, but it's referred to as the city of God. Amen. The place where God put his footprints on the seashores of Galilee, walked through the city of Jerusalem and wept over her and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft have I gathered you as a hen had gathered her brood, and you would not. He had a heart and a compassion for that place and for that people.
Yes, he did.
But then we see he refers to another Jerusalem.
Amen.
The Jerusalem that is free. And those that are inhabitants and citizens of that place have been set free. Amen. I'm glad I'm a child of the King. Amen. John said, I saw that city, that new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven like a bride that adorneth her husband. Coming down out of heaven. Sometimes Jerusalem is referred to as a place. Sometimes in Scripture, he refers it as a people. Jerusalem, the church of the living God. It's an allegory in some text today. Sometimes it's referred to. John said, have you seen the Lamb's bride?
Yeah.
Jerusalem coming down. Have you seen it? He refers to it as them as the church. When they remember Jerusalem,
amen,
they can sing their song. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad to be a part of the Lord's church. Amen.
Amen.
When I'm away from the church, I'm thinking about the church. When I can't get to the church, I'm a desire to be with the church. The Bible said when that they'd never forget Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you, it'll bring joy. Sometimes when we're out yonder and the circumstances change and you feel like you're in captivity and you're discouraged in life, remember Jerusalem. Remember your joy. And remember Zion, the place where God dwells. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot to sing about. if you'll just think about it. Amen. There's a lot of depression in our world today. Fact of the matter is, there's more of it today than I've ever heard of. There are. There is a depression and anxiety in our society and in amongst our church people. They're doing what they can to combat it with medicines. They're doing what they can to understand. I think we're living in the last day. I think men's hearts are failing them and our minds are discouraged. And we live in depression and oftentimes anxiety. John writes the last chapter of Revelation and he said, come quickly. Lord Jesus, come quickly. He's still the answer to the circumstances today that we face. He's still the answer to the struggles that we are confronted with every day. And the trials and the pains that we face. Somebody said, what triggers that depression? There's something happened. I was with a preacher 2 weeks ago up in Tennessee, not the one that I helped in revival, but another preacher. And I said, how you been? He said, well, I've been pretty good. I said, hey, you still logging? He said, no. He said, preacher, said I hadn't logged in 3 months. I said, what happened? He said, well, he said, I fell under depression. And he said, I couldn't do it no more. I said, what happened? He said, my wife has got 14 stents put in her arteries, in her heart. And said she was having trouble, and we took her to the emergency room. They said she had to have another stent. He said, we didn't think nothing about it. Said we got her all in there like we did the 14 other times. Carried her right in there. They put the stent in. The doctor came in. Said, but this time when the doctor came out, he said, I need to talk to you in my room. So he thought, what has happened? So he goes back to the room and the doctor said, your wife died on the table. And said, we revived her back. But I need to let you know that she died. And he said, right then, he said, it triggered something. And he said, I broke down and went to crying. And he said, I couldn't stop. He said, I went to crying and it threw me in a depression. And he said, preacher, he said, depression is a real thing. And he said, I couldn't function. He said, I couldn't operate. He said, I can't log. He said, I'm thrown into that condition. And he said, I'm trying. He said, the doctors are working with me on medicines. And he said, I've been on them for 3 days. He said, I feel better. He said, but I'm not well. Real things happen to real people. And they happen to Christian people. And it triggers a change in who we are. And I said, brother, I said, are you going to be all right? He said, I'm getting better. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to say, just trust in the Lord. Yeah, I wanted to tell him that, but sometimes that don't work.
That's right.
I think at that point, I don't know the answer, but I know that if Jesus could deal with that feller, he got the answer. We live in that day right here today. But what calls us to sing that song in the strangeness of the land that we're living in? Find God. Find God again. He's not left you. He's right here. Remember the joy that you had when you found Him.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. And remember Jerusalem, the city of the free, of all the places in the world that we find refuge with people that understand, it's right here in the church. It's in the church. It's right here when those things happen. How do we sing a song, the Lord's song,
in a strange land. Well, I would get a saw.